Good afternoon. I'm Sean Canaan with the WMNF News headlines. The Hillsborough County Health Department says that three more Hillsborough residents who tested positive for COVID-19 have died. This brings the number of deaths in Hillsborough to 36. 1,600 people have died in Florida who tested positive for coronavirus. Research shows Florida is different than the rest of the nation in terms of how our climate impacts flu transmission. Gina Jordan reports on how that impacts Floridians during the coronavirus pandemic.
While influenza is not equivalent to COVID-19, it's a good case study in how the coronavirus might progress. So researchers, like FSU Associate Professor Chris Wajo, have been looking into it.
We've found that the Southeast has a different seasonality of flu than the rest of the U.S. So that might mean that the dynamics of how that may present risk to people may actually be spread out more over the year in the Southeast than in Florida in particular. Many people are talking about a second fall or winter wave of this epidemic. It's quite possible that we'll continue to see this existing wave carry on through the summer and then through next spring and next summer.
Wajo specializes in geography and public health. He says it's possible that the virus could be spread out over a longer period of time here than in cold, dry climates. He says one potential benefit of the current situation is a greater awareness of how diseases are spread.
Maybe a month ago, there was a stigma, perhaps, against wearing a mask in public. And you can see how rapidly things might evolve now, where perhaps there is a stigma against not wearing a mask. So having a better understanding of how some of these infectious diseases work could actually help prevent other infectious diseases going forward.
Wajo sees another silver lining, an increase in the resilience of our institutions to respond to surprises like environmental disasters or a pandemic. I'm Gina Jordan.
In 2 years, Florida residents might be able to vote to legalize recreational marijuana for people 21 and older. The Florida Supreme Court is reviewing ballot language for the proposed constitutional amendment. Jason Gonzalez represents several groups that oppose the move. He argues allowing medical marijuana treatment centers to sell the drug for recreation is a separate issue and should not be included in the same amendment.
Subsections B1 and B2 are separate, disparate subjects that have been log rolled together in violation of the single subject rule in the Constitution and the court's law ruling precedent.
Gonzalez argues some people could want marijuana legalized for recreational use, but wouldn't want storefronts selling the drug. He says putting the two items in one amendment means voters can't make a separate decision on each issue. The initiative's supporters counter, it makes sense to tie the two issues together because adults will have to legally buy marijuana from somewhere. Here's the weather in the Tampa Bay area. Clear and cool with overnight lows tonight in the high 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, and warm with highs in the mid-80s. I'm Sean Canaan with WMNF News headlines on 88.5 FM, on WMNF.org, and on the WMNF app.
One thing we've learned for sure this year is that no national crisis is too awful to keep Trump and company from exploiting it for their plutocratic political purposes. COVID-19 is a god-awful crisis, but late one night deep inside the White House, a dim bulb flickered in our present president's head. "Eureka!" Trump exclaimed. "Here's our chance to kill the U.S. Post Office!" Of all things a president might focus on during a devastating pandemic, hijacking your and my public mail service, bankrupting it, and then privatizing its profitable functions has become a top priority for this brooding madman. Bizarrely, Trump has ranted that the post office should charge higher prices for us customers to ship packages, and he bemoans the fact that postal workers are unionized and earn middle-class wages. So, in February, with our economy collapsing under the weight of COVID-19, Trump struck. Like nearly every business, the Postal Service had suffered a crushing loss of customers and needs emergency funding to keep America's mail moving. Congress quickly proposed a bipartisan $13 billion postal lifeline, but our personally piqued president said no, threatening to kill the whole national rescue package if it included a pandemic grant to save the post office. The U.S. mail service, however, is enormously popular, so Trump can't just blatantly choke off its survival funds. Instead, he's taking the agency hostage, offering to provide a $10 billion loan from the Treasury Department, contingent on the public entity agreeing to his draconian demands that it raise postal prices, gut postal unions, and cut postal services. This is Jim Hightower saying Trump's provisos are postal poison pills, for they would undermine popular support and clear the political path for profiteering corporations to seize, privatize, and plunder this public treasure. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.